This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Right now we go to the hotline. We welcome in one of the guys who are in the know when it comes to everything in the NFL. CBS NFL insider Jason LaCanfora joins us on the show. Jason, thanks for joining us.
Hey, how's it going?
Oh, it's not going too terribly bad. Is Deshaun Watson one of the most underrated young quarterbacks in a while?
He's a special player, special talent. Unfortunately, he often has to overcome poor blocking schemes, poor blocking execution, poor play calling in order to thrive and succeed and make some of the jaw-dropping plays he makes. And he throws the ball as well as anybody in the league. He's a super tough kid, and if anything, he's tough to a fault sometimes, holding the ball a little longer than he should, especially given the limitations of that offensive line, even with Laremy Tunsil. I mean, it's not uncommon for this kid to be hit a dozen times, you know, on a Sunday and sacked 4 to 6. And I don't know how sustainable that is, but when he's given even a modicum of opportunity to make plays, boy, does he.
I started off with the Redskins today, Jason, and I wanted to say, you know, you can make a good, solid head coaching move if you want to, but it's Dan Snyder, and he thinks like a fan, so where do you think the inside line goes for the Redskins job?
Well, he's going to make that job as attractive as he possibly can to Mike Tomlin, and in his perfect world, he acquires Mike Tomlin, you know, parting with some draft picks or whatever to make that happen. Tomlin only has 1 year left on his deal. If he can't sort of make that pie in the sky first choice a reality, then I think Todd Bowles is somebody who he has a lot of affinity for. Todd Bowles is somebody who Joe Gibbs has been talking to him about since Joe Gibbs was the head coach there a long time ago. Todd Bowles played for the Redskins. Dan Snyder met privately with Todd Bowles in January about a defensive coordinator position that, come to find out, wasn't even open. You know, and they ended up not firing Greg Minuski, but I talked to people in the winter who felt like if Todd Bowles was interested in it, he could have maybe had the entire job, the head coaching job then, and Dan would have just, you know, gotten rid of Jay Gruden, because it's been clear for a long time that Jay Gruden didn't have any sort of a long-term future there. So, you know, outside of those two, Greg Williams, he knows well, Dan Snyder does, and likes Greg Williams, and Greg Williams has coached there in the past and done a great job. But I can just tell you, it's Tomlin, and then it's everybody else.
Wait a minute. Greg Williams, so this would be actually a one that he's offered? Like, we would know about it, not one of the ones that he talked about last year where he was offered like 13 or 20 different jobs?
I think Dan Snyder would certainly talk to him about it. I do. And those two have maintained a bit of a relationship since Greg left as the defensive coordinator and started, I think at that point he might have gone to New Orleans, or maybe went to Jacksonville and then New Orleans. But yeah, you know, Dan Snyder knows him very well. He was in that building for 4 or 5 years. And when Dan Snyder is looking for somebody to set a tone and get people's attention and let them know that, you know, some of this stuff that, I mean, that defense has a lot of talent. I mean, there's no excuse for that defense to be as bad as it is. And so if he's looking for someone to hold them to a different standard, hold people accountable, and be a bit of a disciplinarian taskmaster, I think Greg Williams fits that bill.
He certainly is. Jason LaCanfora with us on the show. How stable is the ground that Bruce Allen walks on?
That's not a sort of normal football relationship. That's a personal relationship that has nothing to do with how you or I might evaluate whether or not they're succeeding on the field or off. You know, Dan has always had somebody there next to him who is loyal to a fault, who will tell him you're right and everybody else is wrong, who when he calls him at 4 o'clock in the morning and says, come over here, I want to look at film, or I want to talk about our next coach, or I want to do this or that, you know, that person jumps and is there at 3:55. You know, that's what this is about. And he also feels like Bruce has the business acumen and some of the connections to his brother, who used to be the governor of Virginia, to help him get a stadium built. I'm not sure that, you know, he may be overestimating Bruce's ability in that regard, but that is a big component to it as well. But the fact that Bruce Allen continues to run football operations there is it's staggering, but it's not surprising because Snyder, before it was Vinny Serrato, he's always had somebody in that role who was kind of me and you against the world.
Jason Lockett for joining us on the show. Man, there's a lot to unpack out of that one. Let me go to Los Angeles, though. People are paying attention. They're worried about the Rams over the last couple of weeks. Is there something to be worried about?
I think so. The whole Super Bowl hangover thing is tends to be a thing, whether it makes sense or not. It does. In this case, you've also had the situation with Todd Gurley where they can say they weren't load managing him or whatever, but they also weren't running the offense to him anymore. And now he's not even going to play this week. They don't have the offensive line that they had a year ago, it doesn't seem. And you get to year three or four of a Wade Phillips defense, and I've had a lot of people around the league sort of point this out who've been sort of advanced scouting them. You know, you tend to be able to find some holes there. And those corners who were, you know, 3 years younger and a little more airtight in the first year of the program, boy, they slip a little bit. And when you don't have two corners that you feel like you can put on an island, that whole thing starts to crumble. And, you know, Tlaib's age is showing, and now he's out. And Peters, you know, he's incredibly prone to inconsistency. He can look like the best corner in the league 1 week, and then he can go into a long funk, and he's been in a bit of a funk. And you put all that together, plus all the money they paid Jared Goff, that I'm sorry, I think it does get into your head. I think they're human beings. I think it got into Kirk Cousins' head. And I think Jared Goff, it's like, okay, wait a minute, I'm the highest paid guy, and we can't run, you know, we can't get 40 touches a game out of Gurley anymore, so what am I going to do here? And I think he's forced some things, and I think if you make him throw 50-plus times a game, all of his limitations become that much more real. So they're a good team. I thought they'd be a good team. And they're playing a tougher schedule, and the travel's a whole lot different than a year ago, too. So you add all that up, I thought that they would be a team that would regress and that they wouldn't come close to winning 13 games, and their best case would be 10 wins and the right tiebreakers for a wild card. I'm not sure that they're going to be in the playoffs, but they'll hang around. I don't think they're going to fall off a cliff, but they're not the same team as a year ago where it just looked like they couldn't lose for about 10 weeks.
Yeah, boy, it really didn't. I don't know, the Super Bowl hangover thing, I wonder if defense has kind of found a way about that. I'm not really sure, but I want to ask you about Adam Gase. It can't really be one and done with him and the Jets, could it be?
Ah, I don't know. You know, look, they never do things sort of in a wholesome, proven, sort of reasonable way, right? It's always fits and starts. We're going to make this coach hang with this GM, and then we're going to fire, you know, the GM 3 weeks after the draft when we've already hired a coach who, I mean, and then now you're bringing in Joe Douglas late, and he's looking at a team, the GM there, saying, wait a minute, these guys were buyers in March and April and May, and we don't have enough talent to be buyers, and now I want to sell. I Leonard Williams, that's what are we going to do paying him $14 million a year? I know they just signed Kelechi Osemele, you know, acquired him, whatever, but I'll eat money to get him out of here because we've got to reposition ourselves for the future, and we got a team in our division in Miami that's got more draft picks than anybody could imagine the next 2 years, and you know what? We may have a quarterback, but I'm not sure how much else we have, but we don't have the draft capital to get there. So they're kind of caught in the middle again, and you know, then you have the Sam Darnold injury. I mean, it's just one thing after the next. I never say never about anything in this league. I don't know. That ownership group, I mean, does the president get impeached and Willie and Woody Johnson comes home, you know what I mean, from the UK? And he might have very different ideas about what's going on than Chris does. So I have no idea what's going to happen come January. But, I we'll see if they can win a few more games. Well, a game to start with Sam Darnold. But, ownership there is always quirky, so who knows?
I got to say, Jason, for a second, I thought that the president did the Jets a favor by sending him over to the U.K., but here we are.
They're kind of in the same spot as always, right?
Yeah, basically. You know, you're in the Beltway, and I got to ask you about the Browns before I let you go, but did you kind of get a sense that it was going to go this way with Kirk Cousins, or did you maybe get a sense that it just wasn't going to happen this soon with Kirk Cousins up in Minnesota?
You mean in terms of just not being able to win the big game still and all that kind of stuff?
Yeah, the expectation, because he's brought there for one reason, and we all know what that is, and he's just not meeting that standard.
I thought it would work out a little better than it has, and I think there were times last year where it looked really good, albeit against lesser teams. I still think they have the most talent of any team in that division. And I think if they can just sustain a modicum of a passing game, they've got the running back, the defense is really good. I still think they can they can get into the playoffs or something like that. I don't think it's out of the question they win the division, to be honest with you. I'm still a little bit of a skeptic on Green Bay. Mm-hmm. I actually feel like their airing of grievances last week was much needed. And everybody kind of, instead of holding it inside, letting it leak a little bit and getting it out there. And I think Cousins did play looser last week. And I think he did cut it, he was willing to push the ball downfield a little bit more. And he seemed a little bit more confident and a little bit more willing to kind of let it hang out, which they're going to have to do at times because that running game is going to open things up downfield. So I don't know. I mean, are they going to win a Super Bowl there? While Cousins is there, I doubt it. Are they going to look back and say that $84 million could have been spent a bunch of different ways? You would think so. But I also wouldn't say that they're not going to be a factor this year. I'm still intrigued by them.
Jason Lockenfor with us. Should Browns fans be worried about Baker?
I wouldn't really be worried about Baker so much. I mean, I don't know why people are freaking out. I mean, they're one game behind Baltimore, and they beat them in Baltimore. So they're really not even a game behind Baltimore. They're going to play mostly the same teams as Baltimore. They're playing obviously the same division schedule. They're playing this. They're both playing the NFC West. Like, I don't know. This team won like one game in 3 years, and now people are like mad that they're not 5-0. I mean, it's a lot of new stuff there. They're right in the thick of it. That division is no great shakes. Baker's going to be fine. We'll find out about the head coach. They'll make a move or two before the deadline, and they're going. The Cleveland Browns are going to be in the playoff hunt in December. And if people wanted like more than that, like if they wanted the one seed, or like an undefeated seed, I don't know what people were thinking. But
Jason, I know I met you over there at Northfield Park a couple years ago. I'm here, and that's exactly what people thought. That's exactly what, when they got Odell Beckham Jr., and I was a part of it. Jason, guilty as charged. I swear to God. I'm like, well, they obviously think that they, and it wasn't just about Odell. I'm looking at John Dorsey. You obviously think you have great talent. You're willing to trade first-round picks for these guys. It's win, quote-unquote, it's win now. And I was wrong. You can't skip that step. I was wrong, Jason.
I mean, and they still could win this division. 8-8. If they go 8-8 and sweep the Ravens, they're going to win the division. They're going to get a home playoff game. And, like, coming from – I mean, this time last year, I feel like it was right around this week last year when Hugh Jackson came out in that press conference in Tampa and basically tried to get Todd, basically tried to get Todd Haley not to fly back on the plane with the team, right?
Yeah.
Like,
oh, yeah.
That's literally, like a calendar year ago, that's where they were, right? They hadn't even hit rock bottom yet. Baker Mayfield's got a winning record as a Cleveland Browns quarterback, and he's like 23 years old. Like, what am I missing here? The sky is not falling. Enjoy the ride. There'll be some ups, there'll be some downs.
But Jason, Jason, this is where, and I know I got to let you go here soon because you've already given us way too much time, and I thank you for it. But this is what happens when you go 20 years without getting a quarterback, because that quarterback isn't a quarterback. He's a messiah for your fan base. They're going to do this in Miami, too. You watch.
Man, that's, wow. And the teams they lost to, Tennessee, they can get after you with four up front. Like, they've got a big offensive line problem. It's not going to be exploited every week, but like the Tennessees and the San Franciscos of the world, They're gonna wreck your party, and that's not necessarily on Baker Mayfield.
Jason, I can't thank you enough. All the best, man. Hope to get a chance to talk to you again soon.
Sounds good. Thank you.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.